I'm thankful to be here. Thankful to be here with you all and in the Lord's presence. Yes. And I need your prayers this morning. Yes. I'd like to look at the first chapter of Jeremiah. First chapter of Jeremiah and about the fourth verse. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And these words came to me earlier in the week, and I didn't really understand what they meant. You know, there's a lot of things that he could have meant when he said this, so I dug into it a little farther, and to the best of my understanding, Jeremiah was saying, I'm young and I haven't learned how to be eloquent. He wasn't saying, I haven't achieved a certain level of respect. He didn't even really call himself a child like you and I properly think of children. He wasn't a child. He was a young man. He may have been 14, 15, something like that. I'm not sure exactly how old he was. But what he was saying was, Lord, you're asking me to do this, and I don't have the tools to do it. I haven't learned how to speak in public, so you know I couldn't do that. And the Lord rebuked him. And the Lord said, "Don't say that." He said, "Say not." But the Lord said unto me, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So he had a lot of purposes that he was wanting to accomplish through Jeremiah. And so he said, okay, before this was the plan I had for you, before you were ever born, I knew you. Okay? And I think we talked about this some last Sunday. And in some ways, this message is a continuation of what we talked about last Sunday. Every one of us, the Lord did not just create the world and then let it go to its own devices. Every one of us was planned in the mind of God. We've got a purpose, and the Lord put us in the specific, we mentioned this last week, the Lord put us in the specific time that he did for a specific purpose. And he gave us the talents that we have to be used for a specific purpose, and he gave us every resource that's available to us. He meant to do that. It was something that the Lord gave for a specific purpose. And many people, I'm afraid, are not living to the purpose that God created them for. But the Lord apprehended Jeremiah and he said, I had this plan for you. This is what I want you to do. And you know, for the Lord to speak to Jeremiah like that, I believe that Jeremiah, he wasn't one of those that were living in idolatry. He already had a connection with God. So I believe that there are a lot of people, I've heard this before, people will be going along doing whatever they want to do, and they'll say, you know, if the Lord wants me to do something, then He knows how to get a hold of me. And no, it doesn't work like that. For the Lord to tell us something like He told Jeremiah, we already have to be listening to Him. There already has to be some steps that we've had to follow. And the story doesn't tell that, but I know that it had to be so with Jeremiah. He had a relationship with God. He was somebody that had his heart turned toward God. He followed God. And so God came to him and said, this is what I want you to do. And Jeremiah said, well, I'm not eloquent. Well, who else in the Bible said that? Moses. Moses said the very same thing. He said, I'm not eloquent. I don't know how to speak. And the Lord said, who made man's mouth? Have not I the Lord? And so he said in the 17th verse of Jeremiah 1, he said, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And I did a little research on this verse too. And to the best of my understanding, the meaning is, don't be dismayed at their faces, lest I dismay you before their faces. One or the other. You're going to go before them. And if you go before them with the thought that I haven't rehearsed this good enough, I'm not on top of the situation, I'm not eloquent enough, don't have enough education in rhetoric and debate and all of those things, I'm going to tell them this, but it's going to be a flop, and I'm afraid of what they're going to do to me. The Lord said, if you go in with that mentality and that level of faith, if you go in just expecting to fail and expecting the Lord not to be there, then you're going to be dismayed before their faces. Instead of being dismayed at their faces, or if you're dismayed at their faces, you're going to be dismayed before their faces. And I think of the scripture that says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So in the 18th verse, he said, for behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. This is really a wonderful promise that the Lord gave Jeremiah. He said, you go, I'm going to put the words in your mouth, I'm going to tell you what to say, and when you say the words, I'm going to make you a defense city. Nobody's going to be able to prevail against you. Everything that happens to you is something that I'm going to allow. And we see that in the latter part of Jeremiah, he went through some pretty rough stuff, didn't he? He got thrown into a dungeon. And when he did, it was all muddy at the bottom. And I think it was before that, that Pasher, it said he smote Jeremiah and he put him in the stocks. So he had to stay in the stocks. And then the experience in the stocks, the Lord gave him a word to say to Pasher. And he said, your name's not Pasher. It's this name, it's a long name, Magor Misabib or something. It means a terror. You're going to be a terror to yourself. And you're going to die. You're not going to prosper because you've resisted the word of the Lord. And so the Lord used that circumstance and gave him some things to speak right there in the stocks. And then he took Jeremiah, the king Zedekiah took him, and he threw him into this dungeon that was all covered with mud at the bottom. It was deep mud. And he went, and where he was let down, there he stayed, because it said that he sank in the mire. Can you imagine being down there for maybe several weeks like that, all by yourself, solitary confinement, in a dungeon, don't have any light down there. All you've got to eat is what they throw down from the top, probably not the best fare in the house, and you're sunk in the mire. You're just right there. That's pretty miserable, isn't it? But the Lord had some things for Jeremiah that were very good. Some blessings and some encouragement. And he lived, and you know, that part of it's not my burden this morning, but I will tell you that from firsthand experience that the blessings of the Lord are always worth a very ample reward for serving Him. I've had to do some difficult things too, serving the Lord. And I've had to say some difficult things. And I've had to get in situations that I wanted to run from. And the blessings that the Lord has given me have been an ample reward for it. And then there's some other things that I've done that I had to do it. And I'll say, you know what? If I don't get anything here for it, it's not why I'm doing it, but the Lord will repay me someday. But let's talk about some of these instances. Moses said, O Lord, I am not eloquent. And Jeremiah said the same thing. And the Lord said, don't say that. You know, I think of a scripture. We won't turn there, but it's in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, I believe that there are times when we see something that we think, well, you know, this needs to be done. And you know, there are times when we're simply not qualified for something, for this or that. Maybe we don't have enough experience. You know, the Lord, I believe the Lord called me to preach. But the Lord, there are messages that the Lord hasn't given me yet. He might not ever, but there's messages that the Lord hasn't given me. The Lord didn't call me to come up here and cook up something out of my head. He called me and he called me to preach His word. And so, you know, I haven't preached a lot about child training because I don't have a lot of experience in it. There's other things that I haven't really preached much about. And then there's things that I have preached about. The Lord is the one that gives the content. And when I started, when I first started, I told my wife, I said, I don't know how I'm going to be able to preach because I'm not a good public speaker at all. And she said, well, you sound just like Moses. And you know what? I had to be quiet about that because those kind of things don't matter when it comes to the calling. He says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We do have to know that we're called, all right, to do something. There are things that I can say, you know what, I'm not going to do that because I don't feel qualified to step into that place. But you know, if the Lord comes and you know for sure it's the Lord and He's told you to do something, to say no after that is an entirely different matter. Because the Lord knows how qualified we are. He knows what we can do and what we can't. He knows what He's designed us for. He knows the abilities that He's given us. And if He made our mouth, who are we to say, you know, I'm sorry, I can't do that job because I can't speak when I stand up. I can't think of the right words to say. The Lord can take care of those kind of things. And you know, if you're really not qualified for something, the Lord's not going to call you to it. All right? I'd like to read a scripture in Romans 14:7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And in the 12th verse it says, So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, the gospel is all about a personal relationship with God. It's not about what I tell you what I think you ought to do or what you tell me you think I ought to do. You know, one time, there was a time that I was seized in my heart by fear. There were things that I was fearful about. And I'll be a little more specific. There was a person that I was fearful about saying certain things in front of. And there were some times that it was coming up against like a choice between what God wanted me to say, but then it was stunted because I was afraid of what the response would be from this person over here. And so I got some counsel and I said, you know, I have some fears. And I told him, I told who I was praying with, talking with, I said, you know, the Lord, I feel like the Lord wants me to do this and this and this. But I'm afraid of what's going to happen here in this situation. And I've thought before, maybe I could, because of the danger here, maybe I just need to let this go. And this person looked back at me and said, do you mean to tell me that you're thinking of disobeying the Lord? And I said, no, I don't want to disobey the Lord. But I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to be wise because there's this situation here. You know, I think we do need to be wise. And we need to understand what the Lord wants us to do. That's a whole nother message. But once we understand the will of the Lord, if we know what the Lord wants us to do, then we need to do it. It doesn't really matter what kind of opposition we think we're going to face. It doesn't matter. We don't want to go. The scripture says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. But if the Lord gave us some particular things to do and some particular things to say, then it really doesn't matter what we think about that. We don't want to offend people. But the gospel is an offense at times to some that believe not. And so this person told me, don't you even think about disobeying the Lord. If the Lord's called you to go to this place in this situation and to say these words, then you say what the Lord told you to say. You do what the Lord told you to do. Leave the opposition to God. He's going to take care of it. I was tempted to water down some things. And anyway, and so the Lord helped me to understand what I needed to do. You know, there are times when we have legitimate drawbacks to things. And we can say, I don't feel like I need to do this yet. But if the Lord's called us to do something, you know the Lord isn't hasty. The Lord doesn't jump the gun, get impatient and say, you know, I think you're ready when you're only half ready. He doesn't give you a job for now that you're not capable of doing now. And so if the Lord calls you to do something, it's very good to do what Gideon did. What Gideon did wasn't the same as what Jeremiah did. Gideon said, Lord, I just want to know that this is what you want me to do. Gideon said, I'm going to put a fleece on the ground. And I always get this mixed up. I think the first one, he said, if the fleece is wet, but the ground is dry, then it's going to be, I'm going to take that as a sign from you. And it was so. And then Gideon, I can see in his mind, he was thinking, you know, of course the fleece is wet. Because maybe when I got up this morning, the sun's already out. And it would have evaporated off the ground or soaked down into the ground. But that fleece is like a big sponge. So this could be just the natural course of things. I don't think it was a lack of faith. But Lord, but he said, oh God, don't be angry with me. Let's try this one more time, but I want to flip it. This time, I want the fleece to be dry, and I want the ground to be wet. And it was so. And then Gideon didn't hesitate anymore. He took up his sword and he did the thing that the Lord wanted him to do. And so that was an entirely different situation. And we can put out fleeces. There was something a while back that the Lord, that I felt like the Lord might be calling me to do, but I didn't know for sure. And it was something I really needed to know because it was a monumental thing. And so I told the Lord, Lord, I want to know this is what you want me to do. And so this is the condition that's going to have to be met. I want this and this to happen on the same day. You know, they didn't happen. And so I said, all right, Lord, this is something, and it's something that could still apply later on down the road. I said, Lord, these are two very unlikely things. Either one of them is not very likely. And if they both happen on the same day, it's something that's definitely possible, just not very likely at all. And I said, if they both happen on the same day, then I'll revisit this again. But until then, I'm gonna put it out of my mind, and I'm going to go about my business, and I'm going to do what I feel like that you want me to do. But I'm not going to follow this until you show me. And you know, that's fair. The Lord wants us, it's not just fair, we need to know what the Lord wants us to do. The scripture says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We don't need to understand just what all the options are for us to do. We need to understand which of those options the Lord wants us to do. We need to know what kind of witnessing to do for Him. We need to know what to say to people. We need to know how to give our testimony to people. We need to know what kind of job to take. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, will you lead me into those things? But the difference between that and what Jeremiah did was, he said, you know, I don't have it on hand. And the Lord, it's just like the Lord impressed me with this phrase that the Lord, He said, say not, I'm a child. Don't say that, because you're trying to rely on what you've got, on what you've got on hand, your abilities, everything that you've been trained in. And I'll give you that. I'll give you the qualifications that you need. Don't worry about that. You know, I think about Samuel, and the Lord spoke to Samuel. I'd like to read a little bit in there. What he did. 1 Samuel 3. So the Lord began speaking to Samuel. And he wasn't very old either, was he? I don't know exactly how old he was. I don't think he was 5 years old. It said that in the morning he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and he took care of the stuff around there. I'm guessing he was, I don't know, probably a teenager. And so the Lord, he laid down one night and the Lord began calling him. And so he thought it was Eli. We know the story. And after a while, Eli figured out that it was the Lord. And the Lord, you know, the Lord did this on purpose. I believe that the Lord's design, I think the Lord had, this is just give me the liberty here. I feel like the Lord had several purposes in mind. For one, he wanted Eli to know that the Lord was calling Samuel. And for two, he wanted Samuel to have the opportunity to realize that the Lord was speaking to him and to see what Samuel would say. And I believe that this is so important in our lives, that when we feel like the Lord has something for us to say, that we don't let anything get in the way of what the Lord has for us to hear. We want everything that the Lord has to say to us. We can trust what the Lord has to say to us. He's not going to say something to us. I've heard people say, oh, be careful what you tell the Lord you'll do. Be careful because He might give you, there's no telling what He'll give you. I want to tell you that the Lord is to be trusted. The Lord's way is to be not just trusted, but highly prized and sought after. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Are we going to miss some opportunities that we might have been able to afford ourselves? Yes. You might not get to fully indulge in that exciting hobby that you're wanting to. You know what I'm trying to say? The Lord has ways, has plans for us and things for us. And maybe we don't feel prepared, but the important thing is for us to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm willing. I'm ready for it. So in 1 Samuel 3, it said the Lord, in the 8th verse, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And another thing that's so remarkable about this story is that the first of the chapter, it started off by saying, And the word of the Lord was precious. That means it was scarce. He didn't just talk to a lot of people. There weren't a lot of prophets in the land. I don't think there were any. Well, there was that man of God that came to Eli and said that this and this was going to happen. And it wasn't Samuel. But it was precious. That means it was scarce. And so Eli was the high priest, I think. Wasn't he the high priest? At least he was a priest. He was supposed to be in contact with God. He was supposed to be able to hear from the Lord. He would come and offer sacrifices for the people. He would pray for the people. He's the one that came and encouraged Hannah when she was praying. He was supposed to be in contact with the Lord. But the Lord had things for him to know that he wouldn't even speak to Eli about. He called this boy instead. And Eli knew that. And so I imagine that Eli didn't get a lot of sleep the rest of the night. He was probably saying, you know, I wonder what the Lord's telling Samuel. And he's probably a little bit afraid because he probably had an idea of what some of it was. And the Lord came. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I wonder if Eli had ever had this experience before too. A long time ago. Back when he was young. He was 98 years old. At least he was when he died. He was an old man and he couldn't see. He was blind. And I wonder if he thought, Oh, what wouldn't I give to hear the Lord like that again? I wish the Lord would speak to me. Where have I gone wrong? Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And you know, I imagine that Samuel had some fear in his heart, some trepidation. What's the Lord going to tell me? And if the Lord tells me, why doesn't he speak to Eli? Eli's the priest. And I imagine that he had all kinds of thoughts running in his mind. You know, if the Lord speaks to me something that he hasn't spoke to Eli, what am I going to do with it? But he manned up and he said, Lord, speak. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Whatever you want me to hear, I'm going to hear. And then the Lord gave him a message that was really tough to... I've read this, and I feel like that it was something that Samuel understood that he really was supposed to tell this to Eli. It doesn't specifically say that, but I infer it from these scriptures here. And in the 15th verse, and Samuel lay until the morning, probably didn't get much sleep after that, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to me, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And what the Lord told him, he said, I'm going to bring judgment upon Eli because he didn't restrain his sons. How would you like to go to somebody with a message like that? Said, the Lord is going to pronounce judgment upon you, and he's going, there's not going to be an old man in your house, and they're going to be begging for a piece of bread. Just make me a priest so that I can have some sort of an income, a maintenance. Because you didn't restrain your children. Wouldn't that be a hard message to tell somebody? And Samuel was obedient. And he did it. And it says Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. And he did let none of his words fall to the ground. You know, the Lord promises to do that to every one of us if we'll just follow his word. If we'll follow his way. Nobody looked. You know, Samuel could have said, well, Lord, I'm not even a priest. I'm just the water boy in the house of the Lord. I open the doors and I sweep the floor. It's all I do. I don't have any kind of position of authority. I don't know how to speak well. I'm not the one that gives the lesson in the synagogue every Sabbath. Lord, how is anybody going to listen to me? You let the Lord worry about that. I'm serious. The Lord, do you know that it is cautious. It is cautious to not rush into something because you can see things that are that could be bad. But it's if the Lord's called you to do something, to drag our feet on something like that, I'm going to say that is wicked. We don't want to do that. We want to do what the Lord. Now the Lord has to for sure call us. And so there we have the fleece and all that. We need to do those things. But when the Lord calls us, then we can go. And if we don't have the boldness, you know those disciples, I think often about the disciples in Acts. And they started preaching the gospel and they had so much opposition. And they were beaten. And they went back and they knew that that's what the Lord wanted them to do. So there's no diplomacy and there's no, we're gonna sail to another country kind of thing. You know, there's been times when I believe the Lord let people do that and maybe even called them to do it. That's what the pilgrims did. They came here. But that's not what the Lord wanted these guys to do. And so they said, Lord, give us boldness. Help us to do your will. Help us to say the things we need to say. Help us not to have the fear that'll cripple us. Help us that we won't water down anything that we say where it's kind of politically correct. Help us to be able to say exactly what you want us to say, no matter what the opposition is. You know, I said it's wicked to drag our feet. Do you know that there's a scripture in Revelation that really challenges me? It talks about all the people that are going to have their part in the lake of fire. And it talks about people that commit adultery. And it talks about liars. And we can look at that and we can say, well, yeah, that's wicked to do those things. It's bad. It's wrong. You know what the very first word in that list is? But the fearful. The fearful and the unbelieving. The people that said, I can't do that. Whatever, I can't do that. I'm too shy. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to run. I'm going to drag my feet on it. You know, that's why the Lord came and he said, don't say that to Jeremiah. Don't say that because you're going against. I've already prepared the way before you. I'm going to make you a defense city. The only way that you're not going to do this is if you say, no, I can't do that. So let's not do that. Now I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in the 26th verse. You know, I kind of drag my feet a little bit on this message because I don't really know why the Lord gave this to me, but I know that he did. So you pray for us this morning. 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught or to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know what this means? This means that when God really calls somebody, they're probably not going to feel prepared in themselves. That's what this means. We won't turn there, but in Psalms 147 and 10, it says, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The meaning here is that the things that are strong, the things that are supposed to be good for accomplishing things, those don't matter to the Lord. Because the Lord can give strength for the battle. He can give the words to say. He can give the wisdom and the knowledge. He can reveal secrets. He can do everything to prepare you for what you need to do. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And there's a scripture in Isaiah 40. We won't turn there, but it says, it's talking about when the Messiah is going to come. The whole chapter is a prophecy of the Messiah. And he says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And in James, the first chapter, James basically quotes from it. James 1 and 9, he said, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You know, that sounds pretty good. If you feel like that you're an outcast, you feel like you can't do anything, feel like you're really of no count, but all of a sudden I come and I tell you that you're complete in him, that Christ is all and in all, and that he can fill you up and he can give you what you need and he can make you set your feet on a level plane and he can establish your goings and he can do everything, give you everything that you... That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But what if you're a really talented person? What if you're good at this or that? You know, James wasn't finished when he said, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich... in that he is made low. It says those people need to rejoice too. You know why? Because all of the things that you're naturally good at, all of the things that you've maybe got your ducks in a row, and maybe the money that you've made and the social position that you have and the way that you're able. I've known people before that could talk circles around anything that I could say. And I would hope that I would not get in an argument with them because they would just beat me all over the place, whether they were actually right or not, just because they were so good at debate. You know, those things don't last. They don't accomplish God's will. Not necessarily. God can use things like that, and he does. But by themselves, those things fade away. They don't last. It says that the rich in that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Well, I don't, if I'm a rich person or somebody that's in some sort of position in life, I don't want to fade and pass away. I want something solid to stand on. I want something that will pass the judgment. I want something that will hold me against the storms of life. And riches won't do it. Talents won't do it. High intellect won't do it. None of those things will do it. Thank God there's something that will do it. And that's Jesus Christ. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. What's that talking about? It's talking about people being able to find their identity and their place in Jesus Christ. People that think they're an outcast and that they don't have any value, they're not good at anything, nobody appreciates them, they can have their identity in Jesus Christ. And it's full. I used to feel that way too. but I have an identity in Jesus Christ. My worth is not performance-based. The Lord wants me to do things, but I can try my best and be a complete flop at it and still go home and say, Jesus loves me. Jesus cares about me. And furthermore, I can say, by the grace of God, I did His will today. Whether it seemed like a flop or not. You know, many times I get out of this pulpit and I go home and I feel like I don't ever want to get up there again. Probably more times than not. It was a flop. You know, the Lord handles the success part of things. And a lot of times doesn't even let us see it because He doesn't want us to get lifted up or whatever. That's His business. You let the Lord. But it says, not finished with this part. It says, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You know, the first part of this little discourse by James sounded really good. It says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You know, it's easier to be exalted in life. Or everybody wants that, right? It's easier to be exalted in life than to have to give things up that you trust in. And people trust in all kinds of things. And we, if we're not careful, we will put our trust in things that the Lord doesn't want us to put our trust in at all. I think of a guy that Jesus spoke to. Let's go there. Mark 10, 21. We know this story, real familiar story. Rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he said, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the law. Keep the commandments. And he said, well, which ones? Well, don't murder, don't kill, or don't steal, don't commit adultery, honor thy father and mother, all of those. And he said, I've done that. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. And, you know, don't tell me that this man didn't have a plan from God that he rejected. Don't tell me that he was somebody that was eternally reprobated. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said to him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. You know that whenever God calls us, this is why the scripture says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know why? Because it is so hard for us when we have an elevated position in whatever way. It is so hard for us to divest ourselves from those things and put our complete trust and confidence in God. But that's what God requires. We have to put our trust in God. It's not that God favors poor people over rich people. It's not that He favors the outcasts more than the talented people. It's that the people that already have a foundation, it's very easy to want to hold on to it and to trust in it and to bank on it and say, this is how I succeed in life. This is what keeps me. It can be your money. It can be your position. It can be your intellect. It can be your memory. It can be any number of things. It can be who my family in the church is. It can be all kinds of things. And God said, not many of those people are called. God would like to call everyone. Maybe not to do the same job. I know He wouldn't. But He wants to call everyone because He has a plan for everyone. But not everybody is in the position where they're able to be called. Because they have things that they trust in, that they depend on, And there's no room for God to work in their lives. May the Lord help us that we will be able to put our complete trust in God, that everything that we have in life that we've been given, that we'll be able to say, Lord, I consecrate this thing to you. My success is not going to depend on those factors. It's not going to depend on my mind. It's not going to depend on my money. It's not going to depend on my strength or my youth or my health or any of those things. Lord, my defense and my strength is in you. And you know, when we can consecrate those things to the Lord and truly have them under consecration, I believe the Lord can open doors that we never thought possible. He said, that he was sad. He said, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. I don't know of a stronger call to do something anywhere in the Bible. This is what I want you to do. Does everybody have this same mandate? No. But I think that we have mandates sometimes from the Lord. And we know the Lord wants us to do something. And we know the Lord wants us to give something up. But we just can't do it. Because it is our rock, our stay. And those things fade away. James said the rich man will fade away in his ways. I don't think he was just picking on people that had money. I think he was picking on people that had anything in their life that they had set up that they trusted in other than Jesus Christ. He said, let the rich rejoice in that he is made low. We as Christians need to seek for an identity in Christ, because the scripture teaches that's the only thing that's going to get us through, that we're going to be able to trust in. So it says that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I can't let go of this. This is how I succeed in life. Maybe it was how he maintained his influence with people. Maybe he thought, maybe, you know, I see some of Jeremiah right here. Jeremiah said, I can't do this. I don't have this and this and this. Can't do it. I can't go there for you, Lord. And this rich man said, you're trying to take away the only thing I've got that gives me any kind of influence at all. And I've got it and I'm secure. Nothing can touch me. Do you know how much danger I'm going to put myself in? Maybe there were people that he had made mad once upon a time, but he knew that they couldn't touch him because he had all this wealth. Maybe he had influence with the law. Maybe he had influence with the rulers in the temple. I think he had some position himself. And Jesus was saying, this is the thing. He put his finger on it. He said, this is the thing that you've got to give up to follow me. Come follow me. And Jesus wanted him to follow him, and he didn't follow him because he had great possessions and he couldn't give them up. It was the thing that was his security. And so Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. To follow the call of God. To do the will of God. It might not be money. What do we trust in this morning? Where's our confidence? What are we standing on? May the Lord help us today. I feel personally greatly challenged by these scriptures. I hope you do too. You pray for me.